organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. We've got loaded lines, so I'm going to go to the phones, and then I'll get back to finishing up my review of my books. I don't do that very often, and I thought it would be a good time to do it. There's kind of some interesting things to know about the books, the history, and which ones cover what and all that. Sometimes they make good holiday gifts, but I've been getting some questions about them. It comes up when I have a new book hit the streets, which has happened again. If you didn't hear me talking about it early in the show, we have a new version of the Organic Manual, which has been around for a long time. But the new version was a joint venture project with Mother Earth News. We've been on a tour speaking at their fairs around the country. Last year we did Belton, Texas, and then up in Oregon. We did Topeka, Kansas, just outside of Pittsburgh. It was one that we did where their parent company actually owns a ski resort there. And we're going to be doing one coming up again. Well, we may be doing most of them this next year, but the first one of the year will be the one here in Texas, in Belton, Texas. And I think it's in February. I'll double check that and start giving you notice about it, because it's a good one for those of you in this part of the world to go to. Fantastic crowds, fantastic number of booths and speakers and information, and they do a really good job. You know, Mother Earth News was kind of off my radar for some strange reason, and I have been delighted to get together and work with them. We're going to be doing more and more stuff together, so we'll keep you apprised of that. Okay, but before we talk more book stuff, somebody dropped off, so there's an open line all of a sudden at 866-444-3478. And if we lost you for some reason, let Mary Rose know when you call back, and we'll move you up in the queue there. Jason, Mountain Home, Arkansas. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Howard. My question is, I recently moved to the area and got some acreage out here, and it's predominantly oak trees.
Okay.
And so I have an abundance of oak leaves that I'm using for mulch, but I've read that or seen that maybe there's some concerns with using too much of that. Is there, what's your opinion on that?
That's nonsense is what it is, Jason. Where did you read that, by the way?
Just various websites and forums and whatnot.
That is really, I run into it all the time. You're certainly not the first person to notice.
And actually, my neighbor even told me, made a comment about it, and
yeah,
I don't know if it has to do with the tannins people think, or they say they're too acidic, or I don't know.
Next time somebody tells you that ridiculous thing to do, ask them how they think that the forests get along. You know, it just makes absolutely no sense. I mean, nature puts down the organic matter that grows on the plants underneath, you know, on the root system year after year after year, you know, back to the beginning of time. So it's just bizarre. The only thing I can figure is that some people that say that have something, some kind of mulch or something that they need to try to sell you.
What about if I'm putting it in for a garden area? I mean, is it going to affect vegetables?
No, absolutely not. One of the greatest vegetable gardeners I ever ran into was an elderly gentleman. This was quite a few years ago, and I doubt that he's even around anymore. But he had a big garden. It was, I don't know what the size of it was, but it was several hundred feet by several hundred feet. It was big. And what he did every year was drive around in the fall and pick up the leaves that silly people were putting in bags and putting out on the curb to go to the landfill. And he would take those leaves back, and he did a similar thing to what I did. He would grind them up with his lawnmower, and then he'd put them across his bed. He built beautiful, long, straight beds that were 4 feet wide. His theory, and I go along with it, I think he's the one that taught me this idea, is 4 foot wide beds that are raised and sloped down on the edges are the best size, because you can reach in 2 feet easily from each side. And the only thing he did was put in tons and tons and tons of leaves into his beds, and I think maybe he used a little other organic fertilizer. And he also planted hairy vetch on the sloped down edges of his 4 foot wide beds. He planted hairy vetch in the fall and let the vetch grow all through the winter. And then he did a different thing than some people do in the spring. He didn't cut it down. He kept letting the vetch grow because his theory was that it's a legume, it's fixing nitrogen, and it would help the growth of his tomatoes, which is primarily what he grew. And he had tremendous production. So using leaves like crazy is no problem, with one small caveat. If you got leaves that were 100% from a walnut tree and you put them around your nightshades, around your tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant and tobacco, it would hurt. It would have an allelopathic effect on the, or a toxic effect even, on those specific plants to some degree. But that's very rare that you would have, 100% walnut leaves and walnut debris. If the walnut is mixed with other trees, it's not even a problem. But if you had 100% walnut that went around in your vegetable garden, that'd be a problem. Oak leaves, maple leaves, ash, pecan, bodark, whatever else they are, no problem at all.
What about wood ash? You recommend putting that in?
Well, now, you're in Mountain Home, Arkansas, right? That's right at the top northern end of Arkansas?
Yep, I'm 5 miles across the border from Missouri.
Okay. Yeah, beautiful area, by the way. You probably have pretty good sandy soil there, don't you, or do you?
It's it's rocky, a lot of gravel.
Okay, you may want to get a soil test from somebody like Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburgh, Texas. They tell you, what not only what's in the soil, but what's available to plants. If you have acid soil, using the fireplace ashes, you can do pretty liberally. If you have more alkaline soil, the fireplace ashes are basically wood with the carbon burned out, so it's a concentration of mineral salts, and they tend to be, a lot of calcium and phosphorus and potassium and high levels of various salts. And in alkaline soils, you need to put it in a compost pile mixed with leaves with carbon material and have it part of the compost operation before using it instead of putting it out direct. So first thing you need to do is find out whether you have acid or alkaline soil. You can use it. It's just two different ways of using it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate the call. And if you get too much of it, like I have a lot of ashes, I'll end up throwing some of it out in the trash and having it sent away if I'm really creating a lot of it, because I have pretty alkaline soils, and too much of the fireplace ashes can be a problem. Another way to use the fireplace ashes, though, and you don't have to send very much of it away, and I do this too, is it can be an ingredient in the tree trunk goop. Tree trunk goop is what we mix up to put on any kind of damage to woody plant tissue, the trunks of trees and shrubs and various things. It's a mixture of three things, equal amounts: compost, soft rock phosphate, and natural diatomaceous earth. If you don't have soft rock phosphate, the fireplace ashes can take over that ingredient. Mix together, slather it on the wound. And that can be done in alkaline or acid soils, either one. 866-444-3478. Here's Peter in Dallas.
Hello.
Hi, Peter.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing good.
I have a question about some tree stumps that I cut around my house.
Okay.
Is there, we can grind them down, but is there any other way to get rid of them naturally?
Sure. Why were these taken out, and what were they?
Well, one of them, what they were, I don't really know, but one of them in the front was dead,
okay.
And the one in the back was way, way too close to the house.
Okay, I was just curious why you're taking them out. I don't worry about that like a lot of people do. Yeah, a couple of things you can do. The easiest you've already mentioned is hire an arborist to grind them out with a stump grinder and be done with it. The other thing you can do is drill holes in the stump, Peter, with a drill that's got, you know, as big a bit and as deep as you can go. Fill the holes with molasses or some kind of sugar. Cover up with mulch or a piece of carpet, and then mulch if you want it to go even faster and it'll rot. What goes even faster than that is to drill holes in the stump and then fill the holes with saltpeter, potassium nitrate that you get in the hardware store, and it'll just slowly make the wood start breaking apart. You can put coals from the fireplace or the barbecue pit on it, and it'll burn, smolder right down into the ground if you want to speed it up. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back with you right after this. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Garrett Juice Pro, and Sick Tree Treatment, can now help you with innovative products. If you're a grower, rancher, or landscape contractor, Maestro Grow can manufacture products specifically designed for your needs and property. For more information, call Chris, 214-436-3617, or go to maestro-grow.com. That's 214-436-3617. Remember to ask for Maestro Grow products.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Exo Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor-eliminating air freshener. It is non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try Exo Odor Neutralizer, available in stores everywhere. Just ask for Exo Odor Neutralizer. For more information, go to exocorp.com or call 800-442-9696. Ask for and start enjoying Exo Odor Neutralizer today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth:
Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard back. Loaded lines, but when you hear somebody drop off, just call 866-444-3478. I did it kind of fast. I wanted to go back and talk about using the potassium nitrate, saltpeter, for stump removal real quick because, yeah, you can drill holes, put the saltpeter in the holes, and that's all you do, cover it with mulch, and it'll decay. The cellulose will come apart and it'll decay pretty well. But to make it go away completely faster, you burn it. After you've put the saltpeter on there, you leave it for a while and let it start its process of breaking down the cellulose in the stump. And then you get some coals out of the barbecue pit or, you know, embers out of the fireplace or whatever. Put them on top of the stump, and it'll just smolder and burn right down into the ground and completely eliminate the stump. But I wanted to make sure, you know, everybody hears this, be careful, you know, dealing with fire around the house, close to the house. That is something you definitely need to be careful about. It normally won't flame up. It just smolders and burns straight down. But still, you're dealing with something that's on fire, so be careful with that. Let's see where to go next. Well, we got another. This is flea day today. Rose in Seaford, Delaware, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What can I do for you?
I have a flea remedy.
All righty.
I give my cats apple cider vinegar in their water.
All right.
I don't have any fleas. They don't have any fleas.
I approve of that, and it's... I guess the only thing I need to add to that is that sometimes cats and dogs both, we had dogs that wouldn't drink the water. You know, it was something different smelling to them. And we got another tip from one of the listeners saying what you can do if that's the case, if they won't drink the water with apple cider vinegar in there, which I think is fine. Apple cider vinegar is good for animals just like it is
people. My cats love it.
Yeah. Well, some will and some won't. And if you have trouble with it, what you can do is put the vinegar into water, dilute it a little bit, and then mix it into their food. They'll tend to take it in a little easier if they shy away from it at first. Our little tater, he's been drinking and eating vinegar for a long time, you know, eating it primarily. I put it in his dog food, And occasionally, if I get in a little bit too much, he'll turn his nose up at it. So all animals react to it just a little bit different. But I totally agree with you. It's a wonderful thing to do and will help with fleas. I don't know if it'll eliminate them in every case. I'm delighted to hear that it does for you, though.
Yeah, I found these two in my backyard. It's a brother and sister.
Okay.
And they were so small, they both fit in one hand.
Really? Okay.
And it was October, not this year, last year. And the temperature was going down to freezing. And I said, I can't leave them out here. They'll die.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought them in. They're huge.
And they like vinegar water. That's
and
great.
And they love it.
All right. Thank you for the tip.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Have a
Rose. Bye-bye.
Blessed day.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Let's go to Donna in, is it Belle Verde, Texas, Donna?
Yes, Belle Verde, Texas.
Yeah, just north of San Antonio. Is that where it is?
Yes, okay. Just north of San Antonio. I had a quick question. I just heard about the apple cider vinegar. How much apple cider vinegar do you put in the water or in their food?
It kind of depends on what you can get away with, what they'll take. Our little tater is about 20 pounds, and I probably don't put more than a half a teaspoon in for him. Larger dogs, you could use more. When I drink apple cider vinegar myself, I'll put in anywhere from a tablespoon up to a couple of tablespoons per glass of water. So you can't really overdo it. It's just a matter of how much, would repel them, how strong you can get away with.
Okay. So if you mix it in the water, you put about a half a teaspoon as well, or?
Yeah, if you're talking about cats
like
or little
bowl,
dogs
yeah,
or something,
like
just
cats.
Yeah, start with a small amount and then go up. If they turn their nose up at the water with apple cider vinegar in it, just put it in their food. It's a lot easier to get them to take it, and
okay.
It doesn't hurt the effect of the vinegar to put it in the food.
Okay, and when you're putting it in the food, do you put it in the dry food? If you give your dogs dry food,
I do. Uh huh.
Okay, so you just mix
sure
it
do.
The dry food, okay.
And they like it better to be a little moist. It makes it a little more palatable in most cases, I think.
Okay, my question is about harvesting sweet potatoes.
Okay,
I know that according to reading what you wrote and what other people have written, I probably should have already harvested them before the first fall frost, but I didn't, and so the frost has hit. And that night I didn't get them, and the leaves died, But then the other day it got down to like 30 something degrees. So I went ahead and covered my beds really well. And now I want to go ahead and harvest them because I know it's late. And when I do harvest them, I started digging some up and I saw some big ones, and the soil is a little bit moist underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I still dig them up in the moist soil? And then if I do dig them up, it says that I should put them in a hot, humid environment, close to 85 to 95 degrees. Does that mean I need to put them like in a room, like with a little heater or something? Or can
It wouldn't hurt to do that since it's gotten cold, but the main thing is just a dry place so they can dry out. They need to be put out on a screen or something like that so there's plenty of air circulating around them and they dry out. And as soon as they're dry, if you have a lot of them that you're going to need to store for a while, put them in a wash tub full of dry peat moss. It's the only use I recommend for peat moss anymore, and it works beautifully to keep them from rotting and keep them healthy for a long time.
Okay, because I heard that if you can't put them in a dry, humid environment, for 85 degrees, 95 degrees humidity, they said you can put them, you can wrap them up in newspaper and put them in
cold
boxes.
Yeah, but don't do that until they're dry. Let me put you on hold. Got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step-by-step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best-looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back, and it's Carol's turn in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Two quick questions. A friend of mine is getting ready to plant some trees in his front yard, and he doesn't have a whole lot of soil. Until you hit white rock, limestone.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is there anything, he's in Dallas, on the east side of the lake, and I was wondering if there's any particular tree, variety, or whatever that might do well in something like that?
Well, all our native trees will do well there, Carol. That's my front yard that you're talking about there. Our white rock is about 8 inches deep.
Okay.
And in my front yard, I've got live oaks, red oaks, Japanese maple, which isn't a native.
Right.
And bur oak. I got all kinds of native plants. I've got rusty black called viburnum. I've got, you know, this, that, and the other thing. There's cedar elm there. So all of those would do well. And we got one of them that I'd recommend that you tell them to look into is our native ash. It's a terrific tree. It's the Texas native ash.
Okay.
And it has beautiful fall color that varies in color. It'll start off being yellow and kind of oranges, and then it'll move into reds and into deep maroons. It's a really, really pretty tree. and quite good.
Okay, and it's called a Texas native ash?
It's Texas ash, uh-huh. And it's in my tree book. I didn't talk about my tree book yet. Need to. It's on in dirtdoctor.com. You can see pictures and see all the details there. When you're planting in solid rock, there's two ways to go.
Okay.
One is you can bust the rock out and go real wide and just get some black native soil from somewhere nearby, you know, that would be appropriate to be with the probably the topsoil that's there in the white rock, and just fill the hole in with broken pieces of rock and with the black soil.
Okay.
And that works fine. Trees will grow up down into the white rock and do fine. The native trees and some of the introduced trees, like I mentioned, the Japanese maple is one of them. Another one I have in my front yard that does well in that situation is Eve's necklace. Wow. And big tooth maple would do great. So there's a bunch of trees that could take that condition. The other thing, the other way to plant, which the tree would even like more, but they may not like the way this looks as much, is you can literally set the tree on the top of the ground or on the top of the rock if it's solid rock, and then just build a berm up, soil up to it, and have it in kind of a mounded area. It would love that kind of a condition.
So rather than like stack rocks around to build a little container, as it were,
you just ramp up. Ramp the soil up. Uh-huh.
That's looking dirty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an easy way to plant a tree, and the tree will love it. You can't plant a tree too high. It's impossible.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You reminded me of something. If you do just, he's probably going to get a backhoe to get through some of this stuff. So if we don't do above the ground, but would you... the same principle, a shallow, wide hole.
Right, and even if you dig a hole, be sure you get, you know, the true top of the root ball established. Get the burlap off, the excess soil, expose the flare, cut the spaghetti roots off if they're trying to come up, cut the circling and girdling roots off, and plant the top of that plant with that flare dramatically showing higher than the ground grade, even if you go down, even if you use a backhoe and go down the ground. And using a backhoe in the rocky areas is good because it rips the hole and has a big, wide, you know, rough-sided hole, square hole, and the roots will appreciate that long term.
Okay, great. Can he do that with a soapberry?
Yeah, soapberry is one of the native trees that I'm not that big on because it doesn't last that long. You know, it's okay. I think they're pretty trees. They're the prettiest when there's a whole bunch of them growing together. They have the nice exfoliating bark, and the fruit is kind of good looking. But they don't live a long, long time like all the other ones that I mentioned.
So what do you get, about 30 years or so?
If that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Nick's on that.
Yeah.
One more quick question. I was talking to a lady, and I was talking about you, and she was trying to get rid of nut grass. She just bought a house, and the previous owners had several raised planting beds, and she wants to do a garden. And she said, I hated to, but we used Roundup, and it looked like all the nut grass was dead. And then when it rained, here it came again. And I said, hey, the dirt doctor has some kind of an organic, but I don't remember what it is. So what is it?
Well, besides digging it all out of the ground and screening it with a screen door mesh material, putting it in a concrete box and taking it 20 miles offshore, I don't have anything that's foolproof, but this does work pretty well. And Bob Webster and his listeners and a lot of our listeners have given us feedback on it, and it's to kill it with a combination of molasses and hydrogen peroxide. You see, nut sedge is a sedge. It likes wet anaerobic conditions better than aerobic conditions. It'll grow in good, healthy soil, but it likes that anaerobic conditions. That's where you'll see it growing the most. If you change that condition by adding molasses, if you use a half a cup of molasses per gallon of water, drench the area and do it two or three times.
Okay.
And maybe put some dry molasses on the surface. It'll slowly die away. It sounds you know, like a pipe dream, but it really will work. Also treating the area with hydrogen peroxide and or physically aerating. In other words, you know, changing the making it more aerobic, the soil in that area, combined with the sugar of the molasses, will make it fade out over a period of time. Won't happen overnight. It is one of the things that in the organic program that does take a little time. Everything else is about as fast as using chemicals. But getting rid of nut's edge takes a little longer.
The peroxide, then, do you dilute that with water or put it on?
You can put it on just full strength, 3% right out of the store. I was in Redenta's the other day, as a matter of fact, and they had a 35% hydrogen peroxide in the shelf. So somebody is now putting the 35% in commercial packaging, and it's on the market. You have to be careful with it. You can burn yourself badly with the stuff. But especially if you get it in your eyes, but it is available. But I just go to the grocery store and get the 3% stuff, drench it into the soil at the 3% level, load it up with molasses, and you'll see it slowly die away. The ironic thing is, like you said, on the Roundup, even though it's a toxic chemical we don't want to be around, it doesn't kill nut's edge worth a flip.
Really?
No, it doesn't kill nut's edge very well at all.
Yeah,
it's not a good choice.
Okay. So would you do peroxide first and then follow up molasses?
Yep. Okay.
Well, good. I'll tell her then.
Okay.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
Give me some feedback. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
It's what hydrogen peroxide does is you can use this if you're planting a new tree, for example, in really crummy soil. You know it's terrible soil. Dig the hole and then splash some or spray it on the wall of the hole before you plant the tree, or if you just want to do a liquid version of aerating an area of soil, the hydrogen peroxide kills bacteria, but what it does when you put it on soil, it starts the flocculation of the soil. That means the fluffiness of the soil. It starts that process working. You don't keep doing it. That would kill the continue to kill the bacteria and fungi and protozoa and all the beneficial things that we're trying to establish with the organic program. But a one-time application of hydrogen peroxide sets in motion a physical change to the soil that actually benefits the microbes and benefits where you're trying to go. It's a liquid version of aerating the soil. Telephone number is 1-866-444-3478. And while people get a few more calls in, I need to finish what I started and didn't finish, the rest of my books. We talked about quite a few of them, the Plants of Metroplex, Landscape Design, Texas Style, the Bug Book, Texas Gardening, The Natural Way, the new organic manual that we did with Mother Earth News. There's a little book called Dear Dirt Doctor that you might still find around. I think you can find it online. It's a bunch of my columns from the Dallas Morning News that were put into book form, and it's out there. The Organic Turf book and the Organic Management for the Professional are the two most current books before the manual just came out, the new manual. Organic turf covers turf grasses for the whole country. It covers the cool season stuff for people in the north as well as the summer grasses, how to plant, how to manage, you know, pest issues, some of the little tips that we've learned about tricks to use when planting and maintaining turf. And the Organic Management for the Professional, it was originally designed to be a book just for the profession. And as we got into it, we agreed to make it a little less technical. It's not less technical. It's just a little more gentle, probably is the way to put it. It just has more detail than a lot of my other books as far as the organic principles and specific techniques and everything. I have co-authors on it, John Ferguson and Dr. Mike Amaranthus, who's the mycorrhizal fungus expert. And so it's for homeowners as well as people in the business in some way, Organic Management for the Professional. Kind of like the the online course, the Natural Organic Certification course, is written and designed, and I present it in 15 chapters in a way that it's fine for homeowners, but it's enough detail for people in the business. And you get certified after you've completed the 15 chapters and passed the test. Got to pass them 100%, not 70, but 100%. But we give you a pretty good cheat aid. We have a little 26-page booklet that comes with it that is an outline and details, and I pretty much cover most of the questions that are on the test. So it's a pretty good cheat sheet for you as well, and a pretty good little just basic document on the organic techniques, the organic approach. Texas Trees is a book I did about the trees specifically. It goes into a little bit more detail about the trees and some of my other plant books. It's pretty good for areas outside of Texas as well as Texas. And then when I come back, I'll tell you about the organic gardening book and herbs for Texas. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Antioxidants are the nutritional defense force patrolling our bodies looking for free radicals. Free radicals can destroy healthy cells, leading to disease. Antioxidants are so important because they neutralize these free radicals. The master antioxidant in our body is glutathione, but as we age, our glutathione levels fall dramatically, so it is critical to constantly build up our glutathione levels. That's where RegActive, the groundbreaking glutathione-boosting supplement, comes in. RegActive is light years ahead of other glutathione supplements. It is the only formula that actually stimulates your own body's production of glutathione rather than just replacing it. And because RegActive's patented probiotic delivery system enters your body without being destroyed by your stomach acid, it effectively delivers glutathione power cells, which help your body increase glutathione levels naturally. No other product on the market today can do that for your health. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Xylo bags are the newest and best development in compostable multi-use bags. Rather than food sources like corn, Xylo bags are made using lignin, a byproduct from paper mills, so no additional trees or other crops are harvested to produce Xylo bags. Ask for Xylo bags in your grocery store, hardware store, or wherever you buy bags. Available online at Amazon. For more information, go to xylobags.com. Xylo bags, the best compostable bags available.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit Kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And those last two books to cover before we go back to the phones are... Let's see, which ones did I not cover? The Texas Trees I talked about. Oh, the Organic Vegetable Gardening book is a book that I did with Malcolm Beck some years ago. And it's I've got a bad name because it's called the Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening book. It's one of those that really gives good information for anybody coast to coast, border to border, if you adjust the timing. And, you know, some specific varieties will vary depending on where you are in the country, but we covered not only vegetables well, but also fruit trees and edible landscaping and a lot of different things. Organic Vegetable Gardening book, and it's by me and Malcolm Beck. Herbs for Texas is probably the most interesting book that I have done. We did it with Odina Branham. She was a herbalist that was a good friend, taught me a lot about herbs. It has not sold like it should. It's sold okay, but not nearly like it should. And it's kind of, I was doing a search online, seeing where the books were available in various places, and it's harder to show up there. It's been always a curiosity. I think people, when they hear the word herbs or herbs, as some people say, they think that it's just about little gardens that you make sachets from and, you know, cook little fancy dishes with and all. It's a big subject. Herbs are a big subject. And what we did with the Herbs for Texas book is that we put anything in there that I consider a herb. And what I consider a herb is a plant that has a use other than looking pretty. So, you know, we've got things like ginkgo trees and other things that people normally wouldn't put in that category covered, and a lot of edible things like culinary, and then plants that are useful for dyes and other kinds of things, and pretty extensive information in that book, Herbs for Texas. One warning, I also noticed when I pulled it up online where it's sold, and even on Amazon, which was really curious. Some of the prices, not all of them, but some of the prices they've got on that book online are ridiculous. So it's $60 and $80 a book. So whenever you go online to buy the book, if you can't find them in your local stores here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can find them in Barnes & Noble and some of the local stores. But for those of you around the country, when you do a search for any of my books like that one, look in several places because you're going to see the price of them varying all over the place, and the price ought to be pretty reasonable on pretty much any of the books that you need from The Dirt Doctor. I think I covered most of them. Once again, the latest one, I'm very proud of the new organic manual. It's done in conjunction working with, they published it for us and had some input in the book too, obviously, Mother Earth News. And again, we're doing the first fair with them coming up. Just go to, I think it's February. I forgot to look it up exactly. It's January or February. I think it's February. But all of my appearances show up on dirtdoctor.com. Just go to the homepage, click on Howard, and under the button Appearances, you'll find those upcoming lectures and speeches that we're going to be giving. Karen in Hearst, Texas, next up. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Howard. I'm driving to Georgia to see my daughter, and I can hear you east of Tyler.
Okay. You listening to 660?
Yes.
Okay, great.
My main question was about a tree to plant in clay on soil that was wild soil until 2003. The house was built, and it's really clay. Some kind of a native tree, the best one.
This is for the Hearst area?
Yeah.
Okay, or Georgia. Okay. In Hearst.
Georgia. I mean, I'm sorry, Hearst, yeah.
In Hearst.
Your Bell helicopter, that part. Sound.
Okay. Some of the ones that I've mentioned earlier, which will grow in a wide range of the country, you know, you can do live oaks and red oaks and bur oaks and cedar elm and all that. But some of the ones that you don't hear about that often that I would suggest you look at would include big tooth maple, dawn redwood, which is a redwood tree that looks like a bald cypress, but it is better in a lot of ways, and it'll grow from Texas all the way to Boston. It's just an incredible tree. Dawn, D-A-W-N, dawn,
yeah.
Redwood.
My mother had that in California, so it grows there well.
It grows all over the country.
Which one would be fast?
Well, the fastest one you could possibly grow in your area would be the sycamore that's from Mexico. It's Mexican sycamore. It's better than our native sycamore. Gorgeous big leaves. It doesn't get anthracnose or the bacterial leaf scorch like the American sycamore does, and it's the fastest of all of them by far. But other ones that I mentioned, the Texas ash, the bur oak, red oak, under an organic program, they're all pretty fast. My ginkgo has been fast under an organic program. And they'll
I've
all
seen
grow.
The pictures, yeah.
They'll beautiful. All grow in that clay soil.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it, and good luck on your trip over to Georgia. We got a lot of people that listen over there, so say hi to everybody and tune in to Dirt Doctor Radio. Thanks for being there, everybody. It was a great show today. Enjoyed being with you. Enjoy your gardens the rest of this week. If you need a question answered, just go to our website, dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter is free. Just sign up on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com for the weekly newsletter. We do one subject at a time and get some good feedback on it, so I think you'll like that. For information about our course, it's right there on dirtdoctor.com. See you next time.